the way this world we're filled with humanity and the humanity, you know, from city to city and all over the globe. And yet through all of that, we have this Savior that has come for all of humanity, to every one of us, no matter where we live throughout the globe. Jesus Christ wants us to know about him and his desire for our life and for our future of this life and into eternity as well. But when you think about this Christmas season, you know, our series is called Fit for a King. You start to look at the arrival of Jesus, and if you take a really close look, what you might discover is, if he's a king and if he is a Lord and if he's a really big deal, it would seem to me that the circumstances in which he was born don't seem fit for a king. Don't gloss over, you got that beautiful little nativity sitting on your mantle or somewhere at home, and it looks so nice and pretty. You know, what was actually happening there in that cave-like barn setting? Jesus in this manger may not be exactly, you know, what the pictures and the little nativity scenes actually reveal to us. There's a lot to it, and it's rather interesting when you start to look at the circumstances of how Jesus arrives. Yes, he wants to be king of our life. He wants to be Lord of our life, absolutely, but he reveals so much to you and I about what he wants for us, what he wants for your life. When you consider the nativity of the birth of Jesus, we learn a lot about who God really is. And when you unpack it, you begin to realize it's not accidental. It's not random how God did this whole thing. It's not just unfortunate that he was kind of born in this setting where he was born in. It's intentional, it's prophetic, it's countercultural to how many of us would think it would happen. Again, deeply revealing about the nature of God and what he wants for you and I in our lives. You know, long before Jesus arrived, hundreds of years before, it was written and it was known that this Messiah would come from Bethlehem. Like, we were told that the Messiah would indeed come from Bethlehem. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, it says in Micah, it says, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler, king of Israel, whose origins are from old and from ancient times. And of course, we can go back on the genealogy of Jesus and see kind of the origins of his lineage. We know, though, that indeed he was born in Bethlehem, and in the stories recorded of Jesus' birth, recorded in history of Jesus' birth, it says this in Luke 2 and 10, then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign to you, you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. That manger, let's just be honest about what that was, because manger sounds really nice. It's a feeding trough. That's what Jesus is. He's wrapped up in these cloths, and he's laying in a feeding trough, a place for a king. Well, on the surface, it doesn't seem likely, but today I want us to unpack this manger, and though it doesn't seem royal on the surface, it's not aesthetically pleasing. This is not an Instagram-ready moment here. In the end, something very powerful about it. In fact, I wrote this in my notes. It's not in yours. God didn't lower Jesus' status by placing him in a manger. He revealed what his kingdom is like. He revealed humility, accessibility, the welcoming to the broken and lost and the hurting. And so when we see what's actually happening, I think this is revealed to you and I. I put this in your notes, a trough. Not a manger, but a trough that is fit for a king. Is it possible? How is it possible? It's possible because that this would be fit for a king. I put this in your notes. Because God reveals the importance in this moment of coming to be with us. That he wants to take on residency. He wants to indwell with humanity. Jesus comes out of the heavenly realms. He's got a pretty good gig up there. And indwells with you and I, takes on flesh, 100% God, 100% humanity, all at once, so that as human beings, we've talked about this over the years, what you don't have to guess, like, who is God? What is he like? How can I connect with him? He seems so in the clouds. You don't have to guess like that. No, he actually came and showed us who he really is. He took on this flesh so you would know that this God is not only, this is his nature and character, but that he wants to be with you and I. He wants to connect with you and I. His name shall be called Emmanuel, which is God with us. God's gift to you and I this holiday season through the manger and through what we see as we study this is that he's revealing in this moment, hey, humanity, hey, you in 2025 in East Pasco, I don't want you to be alone. I don't want you to know or guess as to whether God is with you. And let's talk about the feeling of being alone for just a moment, because as a pastor in this community for now a couple of decades now, I can tell you, in fact, you don't have to hear it from me. You can talk to people, sociologists, psychologists. They'll tell you that one of the number one struggles that people deal with in our community and a lot of our nation around the globe, it's the feeling of feeling alone. To feel alone, to feel empty and isolated. And I do think in the Christmas season, the feeling of alone can get elevated. You think about the Christmas season and all the things that come with it. Well, you know, it's just some of the chaos that can happen in general. Though you think you're actively doing things, you could still feel very alone. You could be married. How many of you know you could be married and still feel very alone? You know, you probably shouldn't raise your hand if you're married, but anyways. But yeah, you can have a lot of things going on in life and still feel very, very alone. The data tells us that this is a struggle for people in the depths of their soul. It's like, man, I feel isolated. I feel empty. I feel alone. And it's magnified in the holiday season in ways like this. Like for some of you, you lost a loved one this year. And this is the first Christmas without them. And because you were so close to them, you're going to have this feeling of feeling even more alone than you might normally feel. If you've had a situation where your kids have moved, you know, we used to kind of all live close, right? But the way things work now, people just, they're everywhere. Like your kids could be across the globe living, you know? And you might feel empty and alone because family is not as close as they once were to you in proximity. If you've gone through a divorce, a breakup of the family in the last year especially, you can feel like that has set us up to be very empty and alone. I think, again, it's magnified during the holiday season. Heck, if somebody walked out on you this year that said they would be there forever, they would always be there for you, they would always be by your side, a friend or somebody that you really trusted, and they abandoned you or did something to you, you could feel very alone. And so when we consider what Jesus is doing in this manger, in this trough setting, he's reminding you and I that, hey, if something greater is afforded to you in your life, and it's not a present, it is the presence of God, and knowing that he is near, knowing that he is close, knowing that he will never leave you or forsake you. There may have been people in your life who left you and have forsaken you, but God says, I want you to know that there's no reason you'll ever put your head on the pillow at night and to think that you are alone and isolated. Because God is with you. And I think at night is where sometimes this gets to be some of the difficult time. You know, you've exhausted your day. You feel empty at night. You feel like, man, you know, like, where is there, what's happening, you know, around me and in my life? And these thoughts of loneliness can creep in. God says, hey, you know what? In those moments, you can be filled with joy instantly in your mind and in your heart because you can be reminded that you are not alone. This God who is an all everywhere at one time, God is present and accounted for in your own life as well. I hope that you think about that a little bit more when you look at that manger, you look at that nativity. And you know what? For some of you, 2025 had some unexpected things. You didn't know it was going to happen. Certain things were going to happen, and we don't know what 2026 will bring. But whatever you go through in this next year, you don't go through alone with Jesus in your life. You know, in the scriptures and in the Old Testament, you know, God was very clear. He would say, hey, I want you to know that I am present. I want you to know that I am near. And one of the things God would do to help people know that he is near is you'd have something called the Ark of the Covenant, and that represented the presence of God. And that Ark would go before the people as they were journeying, and they would know by this that that Ark was ahead of them, that God was leading them, that God was near. It says this in Deuteronomy 31 and 8, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. He's always wanted us to know that he is there. But now Jesus comes, and in this setting and in this trough, makes himself available for you to know that, hey, it's not about this ark of this thing that's traveling out ahead of you or anything like that. Now it's this covenant that can take place inside of you, that the presence of God through the gift of Jesus Christ, if you've turned to him and received the forgiveness of sin in your life, that God indwells in you. And so, yeah, he goes with you wherever you go. No need to live a life to think that I'm alone, that I'm isolated. But our community does feel this way. I thought it'd be good to bring to your attention what is going on in our community that keeps people feeling isolated and broken, keeps people from discovering the truth for their life that we find when you come to a local church and the message is proclaimed. I want to share with you, I put in your notes, you know, what's happening in our community that you should be well aware of. And folks, as I share this, this is why we do Christmas at New Wall. Yes, do we have the winter wonderland outside with the snow and the hot chocolate and whatever goes on out there? Yes, but as you know, if you've been a part of our church long enough, you know that nobody goes and does that until they've heard the message of Jesus first. And as they hear the message of Jesus, our hope and our desire and what we want for our community is that they would know that they're not alone, that they're not isolated, that there's something in their life that they can turn to time in and time out whenever they're going through trials, highs, and lows of life. But let me tell you what's prevailing in our community right now. I put this in your notes, the breakdown of families. The family has been demeaned, the structure, the culture of family has been demeaned, and on top of that, you know, it's so many broken families in our community, and yeah, you could just know that with that alone, there's a significant portion of our community that's hurting from broken families. And yes, that would cause somebody to feel very empty and alone. And then what perpetuates sort of this is nobody puts down roots. Nobody is like invested and growing in community in their life. You know, I put this in your notes, it's increased mobility. Of course, we live in the Sunshine State, so there's a lot, not this weekend, but there's a lot that you and I can do and be mobile around here and do different things, but I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about the fact that nobody stays in a school in one place, nobody keeps a job very long and go from one to the next. They don't certainly move from one relationship to the next. They move from one church to the next. Nobody's putting down roots, and it's the putting down of that roots, especially in a faith community, that allows people to cultivate those relationships, but also in the end, learn and be reminded continually that you have a God that is with you. The third group is, third situation is increased heavy workloads. We're not on a trend in America of decreased work hours. Like, this thing is increasing. Husbands and wives and 30 and 40 and 50 and 60 out. And we're exhausted. Right now, if you just go to somebody this holiday season and say, how are you doing? And the response will be, good, but man, so busy. What you got going on this holiday? Oh, it's just busy. What's happening in life? Oh my gosh, life is just so busy. And that busyness perpetuates this isolation. People are going through that right now. And then the rise of social media. Is that really a friend? I have a lot of friends. Are those really friends? And somebody else I know, they get a lot of likes and a lot of hearts, and they got a lot of friends, and I don't have as many as they do. And we start to think, maybe I don't have what other people have, and we sink into this loneliness. It's happening all over our community. There's probably a lot more. These are some of the top ones that are taking place. And so as we do Christmas at New Walk, we're looking at this going, hey, no, we want people to know they're not alone. Let's bring them in here. Let's do our part. When you get the yard signs, the invite cards, when you are posting online, it's with this message of like, come and hear the good news of Jesus. What actually took place in that manger is life-changing for humanity. Here's the times. I think they shared them last week, but I'll put them up again. Here's the Christmas times. There are 9 of them, 1 on Friday night, 3 on Saturday, and then 5 on Sunday the 21st. And I put them up there for 3 reasons. First, for you to say, okay, which one would I come to? You know, which one you're going to be at? They're all identical. You know, the kids' stuff, everything happens, it's all identical. But the question becomes like, okay, which one are you coming to? And what might affect which one you attend is which one the people that you're inviting to sit with you want to attend. And so you're having those conversations like, who's coming with me and which one do they want to attend, because I want to sit with them on the one that they want to attend. And then the third thought would be something like this: which one am I serving at? Because ultimately, if this church is your home, we'd like you to attend one and we'd like you to serve at one as well. And so these are the times, just bringing to your attention again everything that's happening with Christmas at New Walk and the different experiences you can connect with. In Isaiah 41 and 10, though, it says this: don't you be afraid. God says, for I am with you. Don't be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. People need to know that God is with them. Here's the second thing I put in your notes. The manger and this trough really represents the messiness that Jesus wants to get involved in. Because the trough situation is indeed messy. This is a barn cave situation. There's probably some smells. Again, the feeding trough is where Jesus is laid. You'll find him wrapped in swaddling cloths. What do you think those cloths smelled like? I don't know. But I'm just saying, in the end, like, this is a messy moment. And yet, it is the reminder of the beginning of what we're going to see in Jesus' journey here on this side of eternity. His journey is going to be one of connecting with people that, by human standards, and probably God's standards as well, they are very outcasted. Jesus is not coming for the religious hoity-toities who want to pretend like they've got it all together. He has come to get connected with messy and broken people, and he's revealing it right there in the manger. Let's take a look at the people that, just a handful of people that were very messy that Jesus got deeply connected with. How about Zacchaeus? Talked about him a few months ago. He wasn't just disliked, he was despised. Considered a scam artist, a traitor, and a social outcast. Jesus sees Zacchaeus up in that tree. Luke 19, it says this: when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Hey, you're a broken person, and I want, your life is messy. I want to connect with you. Matthew, the tax collector, and his little partying friends. Matthew was corrupt, compromised, messy. Jesus wants to hang out with all of these people at this little dinner gathering, and the religious people are murmuring, why does he hang out with sinners? And the famous quote in Jesus' response in Mark 2 and 17, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick, talking about spiritual matters. He meets the woman at the well. And she's, her situation, she's come there for water, but she's got a deeper life issue, a need for the quenching of her soul. She's had 5 husbands, and the man she's with now is not her husband. She's a broken person, deeply messy, and Jesus shares with her what can quench this thirst in her life, and he just spends time with her and transforms her life. How about the woman caught in adultery? Set up for public shame, to be humiliated based on what she's accused of, could be executed. Jesus steps in and says, neither do I condemn you. Now go now and leave your life of sin. He gets connected with her. The demon-possessed man, Jesus connects with him. Everybody avoided him. Jesus walked straight up to him. How about the lepers that Jesus would encounter? We have talked about this just a couple of months ago, how a leper would be despised. A leper would be very outcasted. Nobody, you wouldn't touch them. You wouldn't be near them. They were pushed way outside, away from everybody else in connectivity with humanity. Jesus is willing to touch a leper even before healing the leper. Matthew 8:3, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man and said, "I am willing." He said, "Be clean." And immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. The sinful woman who came in and anointed Jesus' feet with perfume. He's at this dinner gathering. She's a sinful, broken woman. Hey, Jesus, why is she in here? Right? Not only would Jesus touch like a leper that is somebody who would be untouchable by culture standards, he lets this woman touch him. And they're like, hey, why are you even inviting her into our dinner gathering? Jesus invites in people that want to be shoved, that others want to shove out. And then the thief on the cross. All the way to the cross, Jesus is still doing this. And in this moment, as this thief on the cross recognizes who Jesus really, really is as King and Lord, he surrenders into that sort of that lordship moment, and Jesus is pouring out grace to this thief and saying, I'm saying to you that on this day, you will be with me in paradise. Oh, and don't forget Judas. Jesus is with him for 3 years and knew all along he would be betrayed. And yet he's still investing and still there with Judas. I'll give you one last one because I think we can all relate even more to this guy than anybody, Peter. Just a goof up in the end. It's a lot, you know, he's not like out on the street kind of guy. He's just constantly goofing up and making mistakes. And the whole time Jesus is like, let's go. Let's go. I'm just sharing with you, when you consider that nativity and the messiness of it, this thing plays out through all of Jesus's ministry. And in the end, he's reminding you and I that he has come to serve humanity. And oh, by the way, he wants you and I to discover this importance of serving as well. People who are hurting, people who are broken. I put this in your notes. The manger signaled the model of serving humanity. Right, Jesus reminds us of this in Matthew 20 and 28, for even the Son of Man, he's saying this himself. He says, came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Hey, it's this Christmas morning. You know, I'm arriving to remind you that this is going to be about the messiness, but this is going to be about serving people who need him. Philippians chapter 2, famous text reminding us that we have this like mind of Jesus as well. Have this mind amongst yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, by being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself, and he's becoming obedient to the point of death, and even death on a cross. Therefore, God has now highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, one day every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. But he's saying, have the mind of Jesus who came to this earth and served. He came from the high place, and he got into the low place so that people could get to the high place. And when we consider Winter Wonderland and Christmas at New Walk, it's all about us doing our part. And so I'll talk about Winter Wonderland one more time before I move on to the last thing I wanted to share with you, and that's just simply this. If you're not currently serving at our church, and you're a believer in Christ, you're what you want, you know this is important for our church family and for our community, and the Bible is clear about this. Man, I'm just not currently serving right now. A great start to dip your toe in. We need about a dozen people serving at each of one of these 9 experiences outside where the kids are sledding, serving hot cocoa, whatever it may be. If you're not currently serving, and you can help us at Winter Wonderland, write WW on the back of your Connect card, the card you got when you came in. Drop it in the bucket. We'll find out which one of these times is good for you. We'll get you plugged in and get you connected. Others of you, you're already on teams. So you're letting them know, this is the service that I can serve at. If you want to do a stint in Winter Wonderland as well, you can let us know. But in particular, those of you who are not currently serving, let us know that you can help us by writing WW on the back of your Connect card. Let me give you the last thing in your notes. Everyone, the manger reminds us that everyone's life matters. It has significance. Jesus is going to model this from the manger and through all of his life, that there is a purposeful way to live. And in purposeful living, if God has a design or purpose for Jesus' life, and which he did, Jesus is modeling that. Jesus is modeling that you and I, hey, your life matters as well. And your life matters because you have a role unique to you that God has designed you for specifically here on this planet. Jesus had a unique role. You and I have some kind of part to play in humanity as well. Let me tell you, not just loneliness I see as an issue in our community. I'll tell you what else is going on in our community right now. There's a lot of drifting people. They're just drifting in life. They have no understanding of kind of life definition, life design. And so they here's the story of how many people in our community, and probably potentially within the sound of my voice right now, the way many people are living. You get up in the morning and you go to work. Come home, have a meal, go to bed, do it again the next day. This sort of monotonous, meaningless life. And what I mean is, yeah, we go to work, of course, we do these things, but is there an underlying understanding of how your life is a really big freaking deal? How your life matters to God? Have you figured that out? Jesus is revealing, hey, I want you to know it matters. Why you're here, why you were designed, why you're on this earth. People who don't know this, they live in monotony. They think status and status symbols and cars and homes will make them feel better and find a meaningful life. They think sex and salary is the difference maker, and in the end, they all feel empty. And so why do we do Christmas at Newhalk? Because, man, we want people to find what it is that we've discovered that their life is important. In Ephesians 1:11, it tells us this in this translation. It says this way. It says, it is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. And long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us. He had designs on us. He had designs on us for, what does that say? For glorious living. Part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and in everyone. This says that you and I, we have a purpose in the way that we're living our life. You know, most people, everyone in this room, you start out as an original. Sadly, so many people in life become carbon copies. They don't know the design for their life, so they just try to be like other people. And when you draw your last breath and you stand before God, he's not going to ask you why you weren't more and more like somebody else. He's going to ask you, were you like you, the way I made you? You know, ecology and science has helped us understand this over the last 10 or 20 years in a very ramped up, powerful way, right? The Bible is not meant to be a science book, but science always confirms the Bible, and we know that. And one area that we know that to be true is in the ecological understanding kind of our world that we live in. In ecology, in that realm of life, what we know is that if one thing is bad in the ecology, in the ecological system, everything kind of depends on everything else. So if one thing starts to fail, it affects everything else. If something that's important, like all of it is important, it's all connected together, and it is removed, all right, the rest of the ecological system begins to crumble. And so we've learned that through science. Well, if God is willing to do that and say that every species and everything in the ecological system matters and connects with everything else and has some kind of significant role, what more would he want you and I to understand about our lives and humanity? That every single person has a part and has a role. And when you understand that, you understand that you have a significant life. We do Christmas at Newhalk. We want people to know that about their own lives? And how do you discover that significance? You have a relationship with Jesus Christ and the Heavenly Father, and your sin is forgiven, and now you're walking with God, and He's revealing a new purpose and plan for your life. I'll close with this. I was at a funeral of a very wealthy businessman a few years ago. Had a lot of resources. But like so many people who don't have a design or don't understand their design or their significance and their purpose in life, you can have a lot of things and still be very broken, empty, alone, and depressed. This man had a lot of stuff, but he found himself empty and depressed. He took his own life. And when I was at that funeral, I heard somebody say something, and here's what they said. Why would he take his own life? Didn't he know he had so much to live for? See, he didn't know what he had to live for. He had a lot to live on, money, but he was not living a life where he knew what to live for. And so it brings this very empty feeling. No, your life matters, and God wants you to discover that so that you know that in every moment of your life. And the manger, the nativity, proclaims that for you and I. Let's pray together. God, I pray that as we examine the nativity, it's going to be busy this holiday season. Maybe as we see the nativity in different settings, it'll probably look very beautiful wherever we see it. We'll look past that and realize what it really represents. This child that's in a manger, in a feeding trough, going to present to humanity that, hey, we're not alone. Feel far distant from God. He's come for you. You're in a place in your life right now where you wonder if God sees you, wants a relationship with you. He came for you. Maybe you have a reminder today of significance in what Jesus came for. And so today, God, we're just getting these reminders in this busy holiday season. Maybe somebody's listening to this right now. You're within the sound of my voice. You're watching online. You're here in this live setting. And you would just say where you're at. You feel certainly as maybe somebody that's not connected with God. You feel alone. Maybe you don't know purpose and meaning for your life. God says, I don't want you to go one more day living like that. I want you to know me, connect with me. God says, right now, right where you're at. Right where you're seated, you can start a connection with your Heavenly Father today. That's what I did. I was sitting in a church, and I made that decision. You can do that right now. God says, I want you to know this for your life. There's only one thing you need to know. If you're going to experience this new way of living, your sin must be forgiven, because God does not have relationships with people who have unforgiven sin. And Jesus Christ came to this earth and went to the cross, died on that cross, rose from the dead, so that we would know there is eternal life, but we would know that the way to that is through the forgiveness of sin, that for who would trust, anyone who would trust and believe in the name of Jesus, they shall be saved, forgiven of their sin, and now have eternal life. If that is you here today, you just invite him in right where you're seated. God, I don't understand how all this works. I just know today, God, I want to start a journey with you. I begin that journey today by inviting you in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.